Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this time together in the Word. We thank you for the privilege that we have of coming before your throne. Lord, your arms are wide open for us to come in any time. I know, Lord, it brings you great joy when your children come and sit at your feet. Father, to hear your voice, to receive the treasure of the Word. Father, we set our love upon you this evening, afresh and anew. We thank you for the word that will come forth. We thank you, Lord, that the voice we hear will not be each other, but it will be your voice as we speak your word and as we receive your word from your heart to ours. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The more I study the word, the more I love the word. Well, we're still in our study on walking in the ways of the Lord, and this is part 21. There's probably 10 to 15 more. We got a ways to go. This study, tonight's title, is A Life of Peace in a Dark World. And we're moving our way through the fruit of the Spirit. Love is the first fruit of the Spirit from which everything else flows. We've studied that. Then we studied some characteristics of God's personality. And then a couple weeks ago, we talked about joy. Tonight, we're talking about peace. Peace. It's something that we really all need, don't we?
Amen.
We need peace. Hallelujah. A life of peace in a dark world. This will probably be three messages, maybe four. I've got a lot of information on this that I've studied over the years and more that I've added to it. So it will probably be, I'm going to guess at three, hopefully. It depends on how far we get each night. But it's all real good stuff. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is walking in the peace and the rest of the Lord. This person exercises the fruit of peace in every area of their life. They are at rest in God's living word. In this season that we're living in, we all at one time or another are we're concerned about what is taking place in the world around us. We very seldom look at the news or at things going on in our own personal life or in other people's lives and don't get a little bit concerned about it. It doesn't mean we're walking around in fear and worry, but we're concerned about what we see, especially when things are so-called out of your control, out of your ability to change them. Now, we can change anything in prayer. We can change anything in our now moment in our own personal life. But it's a little more difficult changing things in the world where it comes to politics and all the other things that are going on, the war and rumors of wars. But we can make a big difference when we pray in faith. When we take the word of God and confess it, those angels are busy working that out. And we are one body with one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one living word. And that word, as we studied, is absolute truth. So as we pray individually, the Holy Spirit joins our hearts together. And he can use that. He can use that to change things. If we don't pray, who's going to? You know, we can't guarantee anybody else is going to pray. And we've all been assigned that responsibility. So we take the word and we declare it. Instead of the problem, we don't declare the problem. We declare the answer to the problem. So in this season we are living in, all in one way or another are concerned by what is taking place in our own personal lives and in the world around us. Well, just in case you haven't noticed, there's trouble in this world. Trouble is not something that's new in this world. It's been around since the fall of Adam. You know who brought it in. Satan brought it in. And he brought the trouble. And it's been here ever since. And it's going to be around for a while. If we are alive, there are times of difficulties that come our way from time to time. You know, we may not be working in big, major problems, but we have difficulties, whether it's in our job or whatever. So we need to know what peace is in our life. We need to be walked through those walking through those times of difficulties in our life in peace. And God has made a way for us to do that. What we do during the times of troubles and storms of life will determine the amount of effect they have on us. It will also determine how long they last, when, and if we come out of them. Sometimes we don't come out of our troubles because we don't do what's required to get out of them. We want to find an answer. We want to find a natural answer, an answer that comes from my best friend or a book or the government or somebody else. We want somebody to give us an answer. Well, the first place we should go to is the Word, because the answer is always there. The troubles and storms of life seldom affect just us, and we need to be aware of that. When I'm walking through storms and problems in life, they don't only just affect me. What we do in these times of trouble and storms of life will also affect others around us. And you know how when you get upset at work or something like that and you bring it home with you, you know what happens. It affects your family. Sometimes it affects our ability to do our job, which affects other people. So the storms and problems in our life that we go through, the way we handle them, what we do during those times of troubles and problems of life, will not only affect us and how that storm affects us, but it will affect others around us, especially our family and those that are close to us. So we need to be aware of what those storms are doing, not just to us, but for those around us. And be aware that what I do will affect those. That I can, my answer in this, the way I handle it, can be a blessing to the people around me, or I can drag them down with me. Uh-huh. And I don't want to do that. I don't want my problems to affect my family in a negative way. They need to see how I walk through this problem. There's nothing wrong with letting them know the problem's there, but they need to see me walk through it in the right way. The way I walk through those problems and issues of life can teach my child more than anything else. When they start their own problems and situations of life, what I impart to them by the way I walk through my problems can give them what they need to walk through their troubles.
Role model.
It's the best message, the best teaching that you can do to a child is to let them see you walk through your problems. So many of us try to keep them away from our family, but sometimes that's not wise. Some of those problems and issues of life, we need to walk through them together as a family. You know, and come out the other side stronger. Most people think that peace is an absence of conflict. And if you go to the world almost anywhere, the definition, they'll say, well, that's no conflict, no problem, no issues, just peace, nobody fighting anybody. Well, that may be the world's definition of peace, but the real, genuine peace of God will bring conflict. It will bring conflict. One of the biggest fights that we will ever have will be the fight with ourselves to walk in the peace of God. Everything coming against us will want to move us away from the peace of God. Satan is a master at deception, and he wants to deceive us into thinking there's no way out. This is going to sink me. If I don't deal with this right, it's going to hurt everybody around me. And while that may be true, he doesn't tell you there's a way out of this.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to go to God. He wants to tell you and show you there's no hope. There's always hope. There's always hope. We are supposed to be people of peace. That's what we're supposed to be. And really, literally, if you think about it, if you study peace, and if you look at your own self, some of the biggest fights you have is with your own brain. When the struggles and problems come your way, you want to approach them in a kind of an immediate way. You want to do battle with them, do warfare with them. And a lot of times, that's not how you handle them. you need to handle them the word way. So there is peace that passes all understanding, but it doesn't mean there's not a fight there. An absence of conflict doesn't necessarily mean peace. You know, when there's a war, two people conflicting in some way, they're fighting, or a war or something, well, one wins, one loses, now they say there's peace. That's not real peace. That's not the peace, Bible peace. All of us are looking for peace. All of us are looking for an anchor in our life. Something that is stable and reliable. We're looking for something that we can place our confidence in. Something that will bring us rest and peace. Most of us who are born-again Christians would say that God is our refuge and our source. Most of us would say that. But like us, David had a lot of difficulties, troubles and problems and conflicts in his life, as we all know. If you've read the story of David and studied Samuel and the Psalms, you see that David had problems and trials and tribulations in his life. Some of them were of his own making. His own sons were trying to kill him. And Saul was after him. He had conflict. He had conflict with bears and lions. And even within his own immediate family, they didn't even recognize him. When Samuel came to anoint the next king of Israel, as God said, all of the sons were there, but God told him he would show him who the next king was. They didn't even acknowledge David. They didn't go out and get David. They never even said he was out there.
Yeah.
They ignored him. He was out with the lamb, and he said, well, we do have one more. And so they had to go out and get him, and Samuel said, we're not going any further till he comes. And guess who the king was? So David wasn't well thought of by his family. He had difficulties there. He had difficulties as a king. He had difficulties before he got to be a king. Well, in Psalm 27 is using the Amplified Classic. We see David's attitude. At least one of my favorite psalms. And in here, in the Amplified Classic, Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear or dread? Now, David wasn't looking for somebody to fear or dread. Mm-hmm. He's just saying, I'm not going to be afraid. That's what that statement means. He said, there's nobody big enough that I'm going to be afraid of them. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear or dread? The Lord is the refuge and stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. What did they stumble on? They stumbled on that anointing. Some angel tripped them up. But you know, when you're in a fight, the worst thing, especially back then, the worst thing you could do was stumble and fall. What happens in a fight when you stumble and fall? You're dead.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, knives and swords and everything else flying around, heads being knocked off, and you stumble and fell. You may have fell over another dead body. Who knows? But whatever you fell on, you lost your footing. Mm-hmm. And you're dead. It's just that simple. One of the parts of the armor of God is the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shoes of peace that God gives us. Well, the reason the shoes are peace, it's because if you lose your peace, you've lost your footing. And if you lose your peace, what happens? The enemy's going to get you. The rest of your armor is not going to work. Peace is the thing that you're sure-footed with. If your feet hurt, or you have a foot problem when you're fighting, you've got a problem. A big one. But some of those fights lasted all day. You know, you don't have a chance to change footing. I said, wait a minute, I got to tie my shoe. You know, no, you don't stop your fight. If you got a loose sole on your shoe or a loose heel, you got a problem. You're going to stumble and fall and get killed. And so peace, God put peace on our feet on purpose, because peace is what stabilizes everything else. It's without peace, the rest of the fruit cannot function very well. The rest of the armor does not function very well. Verse 3, though an host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. So it don't matter how many is against him. He's not going to be afraid of them. He's one against 1,000, maybe. He doesn't care. He has got his confidence somewhere. Though an host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war arise against me. Now that's more than one. A war is more than one fight. So when he gets done with this fight, he's got another one coming up. So that's what he's saying. The war arise against me, even then, in this, will I be confident. And what he's confident in is verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek, inquire for, and insistently require. So he's going at this tooth and nail. He means business with this. This is his desire, what he wants. You'd think he'd want his enemies to be killed. That's not what he's asking for. He doesn't go there. He goes for this. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek, inquire for, and insistent require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, and the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will set me upon a rock. That reminds me of Psalm 91, which Moses wrote.
Yeah, Moses wrote
we
Psalm
that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I would imagine David meditated on that psalm many, many, many times. He probably sang it more than once. And when you compare the statements he made here, you can see what that secret place is and how that secret place functions in Psalm 91. I love laying the two together. David didn't write Psalm 91. Moses did. And he's it was a long time before David existed. So that was one of his normal psalms. And I just love that thinking. He's out there with those bears and lions and everything. Or he's in the middle of this fight, and what's he singing? Psalm 91.
Oh, wow.
You know, I know that's where part of, you can see that in that same theme in other psalms with David. You can see the influence that other psalms had on him. So this only thing he's asking of the Lord is that he will seek, inquire for, and insistently require that he may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence. See, and that should be our attitude. That's how you walk in peace, is you don't focus on the problems of life. He doesn't go outside to fight these battles. Psalm 23, that's another one that I believe is built on Psalm 91 that David wrote. David knew about the peace of the Lord. He knew how to focus on that in times of trouble. So his thought was not on the trouble. He had to deal with it. He got concerned about it. You can see that in some of his psalms. But he always brought his feelings and emotions back over in line with God. That is where he went every time. God will set us on that high place. And if you set up on that rock in a high place, he's above his enemies. So the enemy now has a problem. He doesn't. And who's fighting his battle for him? Psalm 23, we see he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. David was meditating on that. Jesus told us how to have perfect peace and confidence. We must first seek the kingdom of God. We must put our trust and confidence in God and his living word, being spiritually minded, walking the love walk. John 16:33, and I'm using the Amplified again here. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustrations, but be of good cheer, take courage, be certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Well, how come I got so much trouble? Because you're not doing what's required to walk in the peace. You're not activating what he's done. He finished it. He done the work. Now I have to walk in that work. But he said that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Not in the world. Then in this next one in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. This is New King James. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I like that last part, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What's he saying? Stay in your now moment. Don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. Tomorrow's now has its own. You're in this now. Focus on this now. But he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So that's a big key for us when we're trying to walk in peace in our life. If we don't go to the word first and seek the peace that's in the word, the problem will grow. I may grow anyways, but it's not going to grow before because I'm not walking in peace. I'm walking in peace. That means I'm going to hear what God is telling me to how to walk through this when he tells me how to. I'm going to have an ear to the Father. I'm sensitive of spirit. The Holy Spirit can teach me how to make my steps. And that problem or issue that I'm going through will not have that much of an effect on me. I will have authority over it. It won't have authority over me. And I'll walk right through that thing. Right through it. The short way. You know, if I don't do it God's way, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, then I'm going to go through that thing the long way. How many wants to go through a problem the long way? Not personally, I don't like that. I want them as short as possible. Well, these are keys to make that thing shorter. And a lot of them you'll miss. They won't even be there. Because what happens when you're going through a problem your own way? You tend to manufacture additional problems. Mm-hmm. Don't you?
Yes.
Your attitude with people, the method that you use to go through that thing in your own, using your own head, you make more problems. You make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You irritate people. So now you've got this going on, and now this guy's mad at you.
Yeah.
Now you got two problems. Mm-hmm. And while you're fooling with him, he talks to somebody else. Now you got another problem with him. But if you'd have just done it God's way, seeking the kingdom first, when that guy came your way, you would have answered him in a different way. Or you wouldn't even come against him at all, come across him at all. Because God's guiding you through this. But you have to do it his way. You have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit as he guides you through these problems and situations in life. And Romans 8:5. This is a New King James. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if I'm walking through this problem and I'm spiritually minded, I'm going to walk through it in life and peace. But if I'm carnally minded, if I don't go to the Word, if that's the last place I go, if I'm not in the Word daily, where I can have that reservoir built and my spirit man strong in the Word, where I'm hearing the voice of the Father in the good times when there's problems are not around, and in the bad times, I'm hearing Him. So He's guiding me through these issues before I even get to them. Before I get to the problem, some problems you can't avoid because they're just in your path for whatever reason. You're going through them. Well, he can prepare you for those before you even get there.
Amen.
He'll say, Michael, I want you to give that $20 over there. Lord, that's my last 20. I give the $20 to that guy. Okay. You meet my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I give and is given unto me, good measure, pressed down. You use the word in that time, see? Not only are you confessing the word over that gift, But you're also keeping your heart right with God. Otherwise, you give your last 20, what happens? Now you'd be concerned where the next one's coming from. But if you give it with the right attitude, focusing on the promises in the Word as you give it, because you heard His voice. If He told you to give 20, there's something better down the road. Or, it's seed sown for that future problem you will have to go through. Yeah. We don't see the connection on things sometimes, but it's there.
Yeah, I remember one time you talked about giving a $20 to some, $20 to someone.
Yes, yeah. Exactly, yeah. And it just turned that whole thing that was impossible around. And I didn't have the $20. See, usually that's when you get that, is because you don't have it. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a sacrifice.
Yeah, it's got to be a sacrifice.
It's a sacrifice unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then when you apply the Word to it, mm-hmm. now it's a gift not only to the person, but to the Father Himself. Mm-hmm. And now the Word is obligated to bring forth a harvest in that. Now, we sow the seed. Well, Kenneth Hagin done it in one of his. He was in a church, and he had this meeting that it was a pretty good sized meeting, but he said it's like you throw a ball at the back of the room and it bounces back and hits you in the head.
No.
He said it was dry. Nothing was happening. But then, at the last service, I believe it was, or somewhere in there, close to the end of the meeting, there was just gigantic move of God, one of the best He ever had. And He didn't do anything different. So he asked the Lord what happened. And the Lord told him in His spirit, He said, "You remember that $5 you gave to that guy years ago?" Reminded him, "Well, yeah. Had you not done that, I could have not done this." That $5 in the realm of time somehow was connected. Yeah. Now, had the Lord not told Kenneth Hagin that, had He not reminded him of that, he would have never put that together. It would have just been a meeting. But God prepared him years earlier for that.
Yeah.
And that happens in our own life. We'll do something for somebody. We'll work for them. Nate does a lot of that. He gives of himself all the time. We will go somewhere or extra for something or pay somebody's bill at the checkout counter or something, you know, and we don't connect it, but it's connected. God doesn't, there's nothing you ever do that it doesn't have a harvest coming somewhere, but He always prepares us ahead of time. I love that about God. So if we're sensitive of spirit, if we're spiritually minded, He will be preparing us way before the time the problems or issues come. And if we're in the middle of one, He will tell us what to do that may not make sense. You probably won't even connect it. But He'll tell you to do something. And it's really the answer to your problem.
Yeah.
That's why we must be people of peace. We must walk in the ways of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many things that are connected to it. So many things that we would never put together in the natural. Mm-hmm. And I just love the way God works that way. Some of us would say that I pray every day for God to give me peace and rest. I've heard people say that. I'm going through this. It seems like it's an endless problem. I pray every day. I ask God for peace. I ask Him for rest during this. But it's just simply getting bigger and bigger. I still have faith that God will give me peace. But I'm not seeing it. Haven't you heard people going through problems like that?
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about this before. If it's a fruit of the Spirit, and peace is one of the fruit, He already has given it to you. He can't give you something you already have. Mm-hmm. And see, that person will get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into it. Mm-hmm. And he'll start blaming God for it. Mm-hmm. See, God doesn't answer prayer. He couldn't answer that one because he already gave it to you. Mm-hmm. Now, what he can do, the person could say, Lord, teach me how to walk in peace in this. Mm-hmm. Now what happens? That's a totally different prayer. God, give me peace. He can't. Lord, show me how to walk in peace in the middle of this storm. I know I can. I know it's available. Show me how, what I need to do. Then what happens? The Holy Spirit can rise up, bring scriptures to your remembrance, bring people your way, teach you. How he can, in the middle of a dream, you can have a dream. So all kinds of ways the Father can answer that. That the Holy Spirit can teach you what to do in the middle of that problem. But if you're asking for peace to come from the outside, he can't do that. Now, the devil will use that against you. He will say, see there, this prayer stuff just doesn't work. Or whatever. And he'll have authority to keep moving that thing bigger. When all the time, inside the person, peace is already there. So he has already given all of us who are born again. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. It is already present in every born-again believer. But it must be believed, it must be called upon, and exercised to be developed. When I'm going through those problems and issues, I need to be aware peace is in me. Father, I thank you for your peace. Matter of fact, in John 14:27, oh, I don't have it in my notes, I should have put it there. But in John 14:27, and I speak this every day because I want this in my life. And I speak it over to you guys too. John chapter 14, verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. How does what is a bequeath?
Bequest is a... What you get from a will.
It's a will. Mm-hmm. So why did he say it that way? He's a few hours from the cross. Mm-hmm. So what happens when you die? You leave a will. Mm-hmm. So he gave us whose peace?
His peace.
He said, my own peace. Mm-hmm. So, see, we have that resident peace, but we also have the peace himself, the Holy Spirit living in us, the fruit of the Spirit. It's his peace that's living in us. Praise God. That's awesome. Did Jesus walk a life of peace in the earth? Yes, he did. Did he have problems? Yeah, he had a few. More than a few. But so he's saying here, it must be believed. I must call on it. I mean, call it up on purpose. Call that peace up in my life. Peace, I call you forth. You're a fruit of the Spirit, and I call the fruit of peace forth in my life. Thank you, Father, for teaching me how to walk in this peace. And he will do it. It's his idea. I like saying that. It's his idea. So, God is not keeping us from walking in peace. He's not preventing it. There is one that wants to. But you know, Satan can't prevent us from walking in peace. He's got to deceive us into not doing what's required to walk in peace. But peace is mine. It belongs to us. He cannot keep me from walking in peace if I do what's required to walk in peace. But if I don't and he deceives me, now he can run roughshod with that. But any time along there, I can take and command that peace to come up. I can take authority over it and I can walk on in peace. Because peace is already there. I don't have to work it up. I just got to exercise it, believe it, call on it, and exercise it. The more I exercise my peace, the stronger it gets. And here we can see what God gave for us. He gave us the gift of choice, and we see that in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. These things are all work by choice. I have called Deuteronomy 30:19. Call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. So he said, I'm setting it before you. In other words, he's commanding natural things, heaven and earth itself. He's commanding them to yield or to hold back based on what I do. He's given us the authority to receive the blessing. He's given us the authority to receive life. He's given us that authority, but he also gave us the authority to walk in death by our choices. It's totally up to us what we do. It's not up to God. It's up to us. You know, some people say, oh, then you're telling me my problem is my fault. No, I'm telling you there's a way out of your problem. I'm telling you that problem can't hold you because God gave you the power of choice. You can choose the word way. You can walk right out of it. You don't have to live in that thing. It doesn't matter what it is. But Satan convinces them that they're locked up and cannot change. And they can. It's already paid for. If we are going to walk in peace in this dark world, we must control our tongues. We've got to control what we say. Now we see that right here again. Now this is Old Testament. How much more truth is this in the New, after the cross? So even pre-cross, God's telling them how they can deal with things. Proverbs 18:21, just like he said, I put life and death before you. In Deuteronomy, here in Proverbs 18, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, what you're saying is what you're going to get. So if you pray, Father, help me, even if you pray for peace the correct way, Father, I thank you for peace. I know it's resident, and I call that peace forth in my life. I know that you'll teach me how to walk through this. And then somebody comes up and says, how are you doing? How's that problem going? I'll tell you what, I just don't see no way out of this.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Yeah.
You pulled up your plant. Yeah. And you'll go down the road, thank you, Lord, for your peace. Well, you're going to have to do something about what you did back there. Repent of that. Bind that up. You have a right to bind it. And loose the peace in your life. So see, you got to watch. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what I said there had power behind it. I could have said something else, couldn't I?
Yeah.
I could have said, I don't know how it's going to happen, but the Lord's working on this. Because the Word says, you know, and you could bring that scripture out there. Why don't you agree with me on that? We'll just agree right here together. This is the scripture I'm using. And we'll get it done faster. You know. But and it can be it'll be a testimony to that person when they see it manifest. Say, how are you doing? Hey, it come in. God took care of that. He did. How did he do it? And you can give the testimony. See, now, that's what God wants. That's what we should be doing. We should have testimonies of these things working in our life. So if I'm going to walk in peace in this dark world, I have to have my tongue controlled. I have to control it. And let's look at Isaiah 26 in verse 3. This is the Amplified I'm using here. You, who's the you here? Isaiah's talking to God. So it's God he's talking to. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you. Because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. So see, God will guard and keep this person in perfect peace. Perfect and constant peace. Now a lot of us stop right there. See, God says it. There's more to that verse. There are conditions in that verse. It says, whose mind, both its inclination and its character. The inclination would be something that I do. I got this problem, now I'm going to do it. I'm inclined to do this. I'm going to do this because this is what I, how I handle this. But when it says, and its character, it means it's a lifestyle. It means this isn't the only time I'm doing this. And I'm not going to do it for 5 minutes and then quit. This is my lifestyle. It's my character. My character, the characteristics of my life, is to walk in this kind of peace in my mind. I am guarding my mind. See, I'm doing something with it. And how do you renew your mind? With the Word of God. Because he commits himself. Now that's, see, that's that character. This person that has character, he's committed to this lifestyle. He's committed to walk in peace. He's committed to use the Word and to do what's required to have a life of peace. Because he commits himself to you or to God, he leans on you, God, and he hopes confidently in you. So Bible hope is absolute earnest expectation. So this person is expecting this to come to pass. It's not a maybe it will, maybe it won't. And hopes confidently in you. When it's confident, if I'm confident, I know it's going to happen. And that's what Bible hope is. Hope is absolute earnest expectation. That's what it really is. And see if I'm guarding myself. If I'm leaning on him and hoping in him, committing myself to him, then my hope is alive. If we are going to walk a life of peace in this dark world, we must be God's living word minded and walk the love walk. You can't leave either one of them out. We have to be God's word minded and walk the love walk. What does it mean to be God's word minded? It means that you focus on the Word in your daily life. Your every moment of your life. It don't mean you're sprouting scriptures all day long. It means that the Word is in your heart. And whatever the situation or circumstance you're going through, you filter it through that Word. You look at the ways of the Lord. You look at the love walk, what it is. And you ask yourself as you're going through this, what should my response be? What am I saying? How does it fit with the love walk? Am I being self-centered or other-centered? You're filtering it through what you know about the Word. And you're filtering it through the love walk. And when you fail, when you make a mistake, you correct yourself. God's not mad at you because you slipped up. Or you let your carnal nature slip in. You're emotional for whatever reason. But you don't leave it there. See, you correct it. Father, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have responded like that. John, I'm so sorry I said that to you. I was totally wrong. I didn't have to say that. Well, said what? I said something I shouldn't have said to you. Well, I didn't recognize it. Well, I'd take my word for it. I did.
No.
I shouldn't have said that. It doesn't matter if he even heard you or got mad at you. You correct yourself because you know that what you did was not in line with the character of God and with your character that you're supposed to be walking and with the love walk. You know it's out of order. We're all going to fail there. God does not look at how many times you fall, but how many times you get up. Or if you get up. That's what God said to me one time. I was going through a mess. And I was praying, God, I'm so sorry. And he mentioned to me, I don't look at how many times you fall. I look at if you get up, how many times you get up and when you get up. You just get up one more time than the number that you fell. And then he'll help you get up. You know, if you turn to him, he'll help you. He'll lift us up out of that mess that we dug our hole with. He'll help us out of it. But I got to do my part. See, and if I'm filtering these things, if I'm God's living word minded and filtering things through the Word, if I'm filtering them through my love walk, then I'll be walking in peace. And a lot of problems and issues of life won't be there, or they'll be a lot shorter. Let's look at Colossians. This will probably be, I've got just a few more statements, and we'll want to go through this. We've used this before, and it's one of those scriptures that apply almost everywhere. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, Amplified Classic. And above all these. This is a priority. It's top. There's nothing more important than this. And above all these, put on love. So I have to put it on. It's something that I got to do. It's not something that's just going to happen. Love just doesn't happen by itself. I have to walk in it. I put love on. And above all these things, put on love and enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. I love that. So you put it on, and when you put love on, you enfold yourself in it. Now, I always think of a bathrobe. When you put on the bathrobe and you bring it around and you tie it, you've enfolded yourself in that bathrobe. That bathrobe representing love, that's what you do with love. You enfold yourself in it. For we are in Christ. We enfold ourselves in Christ. We enfold ourselves in love. So that it becomes my character. And above all these, put on love and enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness. See, it's perfect. Which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. Verse 15. And let. So, before we put it on in the last verse, now we're doing a letting. This is something we have to do again. And let the peace. So again, see, peace is not going to just happen. I have to let the peace. I'm doing something for this peace to be here. And let the peace. Soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule. So, if Christ is ruling, what am I? I'm word-minded. Who is the Word? Jesus Christ is the Word. He's the living Word. So, if Christ is ruling, then what's ruling in my life? The Word is ruling in my life. So, I am letting the Word rule. And it says, act as umpire continually. So, what I've been saying is to filter everything through the Word. Here, Paul is saying to let the peace, soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts. So, I'm saying filtering. He's saying let it act as an umpire. It's the same thing. An umpire makes the final decision. So the Word is making the final decisions for me. So I'm not looking at this thing and saying and coming up with a bunch of options. The only option I have is the Word way. Whether it looks right or not, the Word is the umpire. I go this way. And that we have to that's what I'm talking about when I say we have to have the character of the Word, be word minded. And that's what I'm talking about. From Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live. So see, He's called us to live this life of peace. Now, if He called us to do it, He's going to provide everything needed and required to do it. And He's going to provide the power, the anointing, and the authority to do it. Because He's called us to it. It doesn't mean we'll answer it. See, every believer is called to walk this kind of peace. We're all called to a word life. We're all called to be spiritually minded. But not all of us will be. We try to straddle a fence. Carnally minded and spiritually minded, depending on my mood at the time or what I want, you know. But we're supposed to be word minded and spiritually minded in everything we do. And when we fall short of that, we're supposed to repent, get right back on there again. So, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. And then verse 16. Now, when you're thankful, I said it before, when you're thankful, that's when you receive. Remember, you don't thank, you're not thankful for something that you don't have. You're going to be thankful for it when you receive it. I walk over there and give Nate my Bible. He said, thank you. Well, he received my Bible. But if you just walk up to somebody on I love this. This is what the Lord showed me. When I was studying peace years ago and thankfulness. Just walk up to somebody on the street you never saw before and just say, thank you. What for? I don't know you. Do I? No, you don't know me, but thank you. The response almost every time will be, what for? Because even in the natural, our mindset is, if I say thank you, I've received something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's what thank you means. Mm-hmm. Something has happened, an action has happened, whether it's opening a door for somebody, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Something has happened that person received. That's why thankfulness is so important where the word's concerned. Because the word says, by his stripes ye were healed, or whatever you're dealing with.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Your word says. So what have you done? You've received your healing. Mm-hmm. As a now moment thing. So that's why Paul says here, and be thankful. Because when you do these other things, when you put on the love and fold yourself, when you let the peace rule in your heart, in your hearts, when you let the word rule in your hearts, be thankful. Because you're receiving from that. And the angels hear that. Thankfulness is very important. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Verse 16. Let the word spoken by Christ, or the living word, the Messiah, have its home in your hearts and minds, or let it dwell in you, and dwell in you in all its richness, as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God, not just a song, it's a love song to the Lord, making melody to God with his grace in your hearts. And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. That's what we do. That is like a formula for walking in peace. If I will do this, I will walk a life of peace, right, in a dark world. No matter what's coming against me, no matter what people say, no matter how big the problems are concerned, I will walk a life of peace. You must release peace and choose fear, for fear to be able to be in control. Fear and peace cannot exist together. I need to remember that. I'm walking in one or the other. I cannot walk in peace and fear at the same time. They cannot exist together. The one that the individual yields to will be in control. Fear cannot make me be afraid. I choose that. I have to choose the peace. So it's my choice. Whichever one I am choosing, which one works. Whichever one I choose will be in control. And the neat thing is, I can be walking in fear and choose peace and get out of the fear. Or the other way around. Peace cancels fear and depression. Well, I'm just locked up in depression. If you do what builds peace, if you're born again especially, if you have that peace in you, and you do, and you start doing what's required for that peace to function, it will cast out and cancel fear and depression. That's up to you to do something with that. If you choose fear and depression, peace will not function. Because, as I just said, they can't exist together. If I continue to focus on the depression, which is based in fear, it always is. You're afraid of something, it brings depression. Fear of loss, fear of something. And it's usually long term, so it builds into depression because you feel you can't change it. You're hopeless. It's hopeless. And nothing's hopeless. But your focus is on that, so that's why you're depressed. Now they use pills to deaden that so you can think a little bit better, but your focus is still on what you're afraid of. You're still focused on that. So you have to change your focus, and you can't do that without the Word. So, peace cancels fear and depression. If you choose fear and depression, peace will not function. That pill cannot bring you peace. It can deaden your mind a little bit and give you ability to function, but you're still going to have to choose peace for it to function. Love cancels hate, which brings peace. If you choose hate, love and peace will not function. They cannot exist together. So the choice is yours, which you want to function. Faith cancels doubt and brings peace. If you choose doubt, faith and peace will not function. See how they look, how they're linked? If you choose doubt, faith and peace will not function. They're two different laws. One's spiritually minded, the other's carnally minded. One's the Word, one's not. Faith cancels doubt, which brings peace. So you will have to do something other than doubt. You'll have to choose faith. And faith works by love. And faith comes by hearing. The next one. Trust and confidence brings rest. If you choose not to place your trust and confidence in God and His living Word, you will not be able to walk in peace and rest. So, if your lifestyle is to just grab a hold of the Word when the problems come, you're going to have problem building your trust and confidence. But if, as a lifestyle, as part of your character, you trust God and you have confidence in Him, even in the little things that seem like it don't matter, if you build your faith and trust and confidence in God there, it will continue to grow. Then when those problems come, you won't have a real hard issue of placing your trust and confidence in God and His Word. Rest and peace is the result. These are some of the things that we need to do in order to walk in peace in a dark world. And it's not as dark as it's going to get. We need to know these truths. Yes. And I taught this about 20 years ago for the first time. And every time I work with it, something new grows in it. It's something that I see where I fell short in some things. And we can develop this just by backing off on the Word. Just by backing off on hearing the Word, we can start drifting the other way. We can start being more and more confident in ourselves than in God and His Word. And what will wind up happening is, as we drift backwards and slack off on our time with the Word and time in prayer, time in fellowship with God, as we start backing off on that, we'll start justifying our actions. We'll start, well, you know, that may not work that way. I think I'll just go. We'll start giving slack on things. And before long, the enemy starts working. You know, he didn't jump on Jesus as soon as he went in the wilderness. He waited till Jesus got hungry. 40 days and 40 nights. Then he came against Jesus. But Jesus answered every single time with, "For it is written." Every time he answered that way. And then the last time he said, "Satan, you get out of here." Mm-hmm. Satan left for a more convenient time. He had to leave. See, Jesus was standing on the word. And we have to stand on the word too. Mm-hmm. But see, Jesus walked a life of peace. And that's what Paul is talking about in his writings. Walking a life of peace in a dark world. And that it's available to us. We just have to do what's required. And sometimes we need others around us to help us do that. To remind us, Michael, you remember that message you taught on peace? I think you're slipping a little here. You're looking more at the problem than you are at the answer. But anyways, we need each other. We need to hear these kind of messages over and over again in our life because it's something that we really do need. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Father, we thank you for this time in your word tonight, Lord. Thank you for teaching us these truths. Thank you that we can, no matter how dark the world gets, how dark our own life gets, we can walk in peace right through the storms of life. We thank you for it, Father. You love us. You placed your own personal presence in us so that we can. And you gave us the truth, the absolute truth of your living word, so that we can anchor our life in it and walk right through the storms and problems and issues of life. And not only in our own life, but we can help others. We can help others to walk in those same truths and to as they see us walking through ours, we can bring comfort to them. And we thank you for that, Lord. We look forward, Father, to the continuation of these studies on how to walk in your ways. Thank you for teaching us, Lord. We set our love upon you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.